The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The bodybuilding world will never be the same.
Get ready for MD Radio with your host, Sean Ray. We'll take you inside the world of health and fitness with a focus on bodybuilding. Now, here's your host, Sean Ray.
Welcome, everybody, back to another episode of MD Radio. It's Monday, September the 30th. That means tomorrow, September, will be no more. We'll move into the month of October and head overseas to the Arnold Classic Europe competition, the third annual. We saw the first time Victor Martinez walked off with that title. And last year, Sean Roden, $40,000 richer for his efforts a year ago. But this year, it's wide open. It's actually another rematch of what we saw Saturday night of the Mr. Olympia 49th annual competition, where Phil Heath won for the third consecutive time. And he's now a three-peat Mr. Olympia winner, joining the likes of Frank Zane from way back in the 70s, 78, 79, 77, 78, and 79. I got a guy who knows a thing or two about the sport of professional bodybuilding, the inside and the out, the Swami, by way of South Pass. Lonnie Tieper, welcome back to MD Radio.
What's going on there, kid?
Well, you predicted that Phil Heath would win. It wasn't that much of a stretch, but
nah.
Did you think he was going to win by that much of a margin? I saw it as a big margin. I'm not sure how you did.
Well, I didn't see it at a bit. Maybe Saturday night, because I thought Wolf wasn't as good, but I don't think Phil was as good Saturday night either. I think Phil has got such spectacular body parts, you get lost. But let me tell you, Dennis Wolf, I really thought challenged him and beat him in some of the mandatories. It just, this is a giant guy that's got really poor calves, unfortunately, and all these people telling me that calves are irrelevant, I don't believe that's true. You know, they go to Ronnie Coleman. Well, Coleman's calves, I think, were better than Wolves, but the rest of them was so insane that it really didn't matter. I think it really stands out on Dennis because he's such a large guy with a great frame and a very powerful-looking guy, and he was not out of place standing against Phil Heath.
Well, let's back up. For those of you that were not online following all the exclusive contest coverage at MuscularDevelopment.com or watching the broadcast over there at Bodybuilding.com, Phil Heath won his third consecutive Mr. Olympia title. That means the first time he took the title away from defending champion Jay Cutler, and then last year held off a fast-charging Kai Greene, and this year, once again, Kai Greene made up some ground after Friday night to land in the runner-up spot for the second consecutive time, which then relegated Dennis Wolf back down to third place. After Friday night, Lonnie, myself, Flex Wheeler, several of the guys around me thought that Dennis Wolf was solidly locked for second place on Friday night, but yet Saturday, George Farah and company helped dry Kai out to a degree that I think elevated him from the third spot up to the second spot, which left a lot of people not too happy, because they all thought, along with myself, even at the end, that Dennis Wolf was going to be the first runner-up, yet he wound up in third place.
No, I had him in second. And I think in looking at the score sheets, I don't have him at hand. I think he was in third after Friday night anyway, wasn't he?
I'm not sure, but I can tell you this, that Kai Greene was a different bodybuilder Saturday night than he was on Friday.
He was better Saturday. Heath was not better Saturday, and Dennis wasn't better Saturday.
Well, we do know that Jay Cutler was on record as saying that he's always been a bodybuilder that looked better the day after prejudging. However, we do know that these competitions are mainly won and lost at the first blush, which takes place on Friday night. And I got to tell you, on Friday night, for me, when Phil Heath took the stage, it was Goodnight Gracie. I mean, it was everybody else fighting for second place.
Yeah, he's you know, he's spectacular. He's got those unbelievable arms and delts and his thighs are huge. Now, you know, to show that everybody looks at this game from a little different microscope, I actually had a guy write me on Facebook and say that he had Heath fourth.
Well, what the hell show was he looking at?
Yeah, and that's what I said. And he said, because the guy's arms and delts and legs are so big that it makes him look narrow and his chest look really small. And, you know, part of that is true, but he's still a phenomenal bodybuilder. And when push comes to shove, the guy who should have won that show was Phil Heath. They picked the right guy.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, listen, there's not one perfect bodybuilder on the planet. All these bodybuilders, you'll ask Phil, he'll tell you he's got 2 weeks to get ready for Spain, and he's going back in the gym to work on some things that need working on. Flex Wheeler was another one that wasn't known for his chest development. However, in his totality, arguably at certain times of his career, he was the best bodybuilder on the planet. Phil Heath did, I think, enough from a year ago to walk off and win this contest. And when you first see these guys hit the stage before they even start posing, you have a general idea who's in shape and who's not. He, for me, came alive as he flexed because his skin was very thin, whereas Kai Greene seemed to have that thin layer of water. And you saw things on Phil that you just didn't see on Kai.
Well, and Sean, you and I were talking about this at the Generation Iron premiere a week before. Now, part of it could have been the Michael Jackson look-alike jacket that Kai was wearing, but
yeah,
he looked about 25 pounds overweight, and you and I talked about it, and you said by the time showtime comes, he could lose it. But, you know, it's funny, last year he came in a little lighter, and I thought he pushed Phil. He was really sharp, but he came heavier again this year and waited till Saturday night, and it was too little too late. I mean, you can't let a guy like Phil Heath get any advantage on you at all. You're usually running after him from the beginning. You can't let him get 50 yards away.
Well, look, on paper, we knew this was going to be a rubber match between Phil and Kai. Who knew that Dennis Wolf was going to accomplish what he did? I thought Dennis might be on the bubble for even making the top six based on the depth of field, and yet he was arguably the most improved bodybuilder on that stage. And Lonnie, I've got the scorecard in front of me, and I'm looking at him, and as of right now, in hindsight, Phil Heath won with perfect scores.
Yeah, he won unanimously.
Unanimously. And in second place, Kai Greene only lost about a point. So he was going into the prejudging, or the finals, I should say.
He wasn't
going
second.
He was going in as number two bodybuilder.
Yeah, so it wasn't like, you know, George had to help him pulled from third to second. Always was second.
He always was second, and it looks like Dennis was always third. They're
always third, straight third, and Roden was straight fourth. I think Dexter was solid five.
Roden actually, the scores, his totals, it's tough to read these scores. Roden had a total of 47 points, and Dexter had a total of 51. So he lost by a margin of 4 points.
So it was fairly close in the battle for fourth.
It was, and see, Roden had a distant lead on him, on Dexter going out of the prejudging, and on the night show, Saturday night at the finals, Dexter actually scored a 26 to Sean Roden's 27, so he closed the gap a little bit there, but just not enough. However, I think that both Roden and Dexter were just simply out-muscled by the three guys that beat both of them. I'm not sure what either one of those guys could have done to move up a notch.
No, they were settled right there. Roden's got a beautiful physique, but he just lacks the thickness, particularly in the back, to stand up against. I mean, Wolf really nailed it, and Phil always looks great. And even a little off, Kai Greene is really, really good.
Well, what the heck can we say about 43-year-old Dexter Jackson that hasn't already been said? I mean, there's nothing he could have done to place higher, but he didn't do anything to fall off of where he was a year ago.
He's an unbelievable bodybuilder. This guy, and I know he's gotten your admiration through the years, you got to have him ranked as one of the best bodybuilders of all time. The guy started out as a bantamweight, for God's sakes, 20-some years ago, and he's there. You know, some of these people, we saw some people fading in this contest probably because of age, which I'm sure we're going to talk about. This guy is not fading because of age.
Yeah, and when we talk about age and fading, we got to get to the 40-year-old, four-time former Mr. Olympia winner, and that's Jay Cutler. He wound up in sixth place, Lonnie. Most of us that were in my area had Jay somewhere around eighth, maybe potentially ninth place. One thing that was unanimous across the board is the majority of us had Rolly Winkler, who ultimately wound up in seventh place, locked for sixth place in that show, and this is where the former champion found himself in a very unfamiliar setting at sixth place.
Well, I really liked Winkler. You mentioned earlier about Wolf being most improved. I think Winkler was most improved. He's had a bad couple seasons in a row where Dennis has been great before. He's been as high as fourth. I would have liked to have seen, if I had any complaint at all, which is not a major one, I think that Steve Weinberger did a great job as head judge, but I would have liked to have seen Rulli compared more to the top guys.
Well, yeah, and, you know, he was compared to Jay Cutler enough to the point where I'm a believer that he beat Jay Cutler on that stage and should have ultimately wound up in sixth place. I think it was very generous that Jay got sixth. It's not a knock on Jay, but the improvement that Rulli made, I thought, should have been rewarded with the top six placing.
Well, you know, there are people that agreed with you on that. I mean, I didn't think six was a bad placing. I mean, you know, Jay was in condition. He lost muscle mass. But in certain poses, I mean, he looked very hard. You know, his thighs were really detailed, his lower back and glutes were in. And I don't know, you know, I guess that could have gone either way. I mean, like I said, you're not the only person that had Winkler at least in sixth. And in some people's opinions, he could have been fifth or fourth.
Well, the argument now becomes Jay Cutler. I said that he probably wouldn't wind up at the show. And I stuck to my guns because I knew he had to be wrestling with some demons along the way and probably at certain times questioned whether he could even make it to the show. And I think he felt very relieved. He actually was quoted as saying this was the best and most memorable Olympia that he ever participated in. And that's coming from a four-time former champion who worked his way up from out of the top 10 at one point. So how do you reconcile that with where Jay is at?
Well, I didn't quite understand what he meant by that. I don't know how memorable it is to finish sixth when you win all the time or you're first or second, and I remembered him and Coleman standing side by side in 2001. I haven't talked with Jay, so I don't really know what he meant by that. Maybe the most fun that he had or liked the guys the most or something. I don't. Do you know what he meant by that?
He certainly sounded like, without going into the actual speech, that it was, thanks for the memories. I did this for you. I did this for the fans. I proved to myself 40-year-old is not a death sentence. I never expected to be competing at 40 years old, and let alone getting injured and having to make a comeback and come back at one of the, you know, hotly contested contests with the most depth of field in many, many years. I think he went into that contest, Lonnie, looking at the Mr. Olympia with a fresh set of eyes, kind of like his rookie season probably, when he first got there, but going in there at the mature age of 40 and being able to soak it all in, because I can clearly see in his eyes, I think, he's not going to be back on that Mr. Olympia. So he didn't have to verbalize it to me, but the words he was choosing sounded like this was for the fans. All the other ones were for himself, and he was very successful for himself. But this seemed like a fan farewell contest, and he was resigned to be able to complete the race and do the best that he could with what he had to deal with.
Yeah, it's very similar, you know, when Coleman, his last time when he finished fourth, and there were certain people that didn't feel he should do the show because he didn't have much of a chance, but he did. And I think with Jay, you know, he had never been worse than second over the last 10 years. And it's almost like, you got to prove it to me again that I can't stand there with the best in battle for the title. So, you know, let me give it one final shot. And let me see if I can do this. And you know, he did. He did the best he could, and it didn't turn out. You know, I was wrong in my prediction. I did pick Phil Heath to win the show, but I thought Jay would be very competitive, and I was wrong. It didn't turn out that way.
Well, Father Time has a way of creeping up on all of us and is very unforgiving. But I got to tell you, Jay gets a round of applause and a standing ovation from unbelievers like myself that dismissed that he could even get on the stage. That being said, getting on the stage and doing what he did was probably one of the more admirable aspects of his career. And again, I don't think people are going to remember him for where he placed, but they may remember the fact that he finished the race. So with that, we'll take our first commercial break. We'll break down the rest of the Olympia weekend because there was a whole lot of things going on, including Iris Kyle winning record number 9, Adela Garcia winning record number 8, as well the Welshman James Flex Lewis repeats and took out two former Olympia Showdown champions in the process. We'll come back with Lonnie Teep of the Swami right after this commercial break.
This is Lonnie Teeper from Iron Man Magazine, the greatest of all time. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Focus, strength, recovery, results. Introducing Maximize, brought to you by iForce Nutrition. Tired of the same old caffeine buzz? Are you ready to step into a new world of power, energy, and intensity? Maximize has set a new standard in the supplement world, delivering tunnel vision focus, cell swelling volumization, and unstoppable endurance. Don't settle for the current crop of underclothes products. It's time to join the next generation with Maximize, the only pre-workout supplement you need for extreme gains in strength and performance. Don't just train. Maximize your workouts. Visit www.iforcenutrition.com for details.
Over the years, iForce Nutrition has brought you some of the most powerful muscle-building products ever seen in the bodybuilding world. Now, after years of research and development, we are proud to introduce our first launch into the world of thermogenic fat loss with Adipoxil. Adipoxil isn't your run-of-the-mill fat burner. Adipoxil is new and rewriting the definition of fat loss. Adipoxil's competition strength formula is so powerful, in one cycle, you can go from soft to shredded. When being lean isn't enough, get shredded with Adipoxil. For more information, visit iForceNutrition.com.
With over 300 locations and 2 million members worldwide, Powerhouse Gym has been helping people achieve their goals since 1975. Whether you're visiting the gym for the first time or you're a seasoned professional, you'll see why Powerhouse Gym is the strongest name in fitness. Visit PowerhouseGym.com to get a free guest pass to a location closest to you or to inquire about opening your own Powerhouse Gym location. At Powerhouse Gym, you're not just a number, you're family.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you've ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like some banned substances, but rest assured, there's nothing illegal in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB living legend Flex Wheeler. And now you too can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Hey, this is Seth Ferosi, IFBB Pro, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Everyone knows that beef is king when it comes to building quality muscle mass. Now you can have all the anabolic power of beef with Carnivore. Beef protein isolate from Muscle Mads, packed with 20 times the creatine of steak and loaded with extra BCAAs. Carnivore is more concentrated than whey. Beef up with Carnivore, the most sought-after muscle-building protein ever created. For more information, visit MuscleMadsRx.com.
But one of the guys that gets a lot of credit is Steve Blackman from Muscular Development. I mean, those guys have done an extraordinary job for years and years and years to promote health, to promote fitness, to promote strength, to promote bodybuilding, powerlifting, weightlifting, and all of those kind of things. So the contributions they made is gigantic, and I hail them for that.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
All right, we're looking back at the 2013 Mr. Olympia, where we saw Phil Heath three-peat right there in Las Vegas not 48 hours ago, and we counted him down from number one. In second place, of course, was Kai Greene, which was kind of predictable that he would be one of the last two standing. Dennis Wolfe, the surprise of the evening, climbed all the way up into the third place spot. In fourth place, we saw Sean Roden dropping down one spot from a year ago with the emergence of Dennis Wolfe, who's only 34 years young at 6 feet tall and 265 pounds. one of the most improved bodybuilders, and of course, Dexter the Blade Jackson, who received the Bodybuilder of the Year award. Now, Dexter did only something that someone's never done. He won the Masters Olympia in December of 2012, went on to win the four-time Arnold Classic Championship honor and share that with Flex Wheeler, flew down to Australia and won there, came here and still remains a top five bodybuilder. Dexter Jackson still doing the business at 43 years old. He'll be 44 this year. And rounding out the top six, of course, was the four-time champion Jay Cutler on the comeback trail after having to take a year off from the Olympia. We are now down at seventh place, where we saw Rolly Winkler, the second most improved bodybuilder on that stage, had a good argument for sixth. And in eighth, Lonnie, coming out of the New York Pro Championships, we saw Big Ramy, all the way from Iran, finish in eighth place. Some people had him as high as the top three if he could get separated in detail under the tutelage of Dennis James, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, he. I guess I was a little disappointed only because his expectations were so high. And when I first saw him, I expected to see this filthy-looking thing out there where I would be, like, freaking out. And it kind of like he's just like a big guy that just was not hard enough, was not separated enough, but showed enough potential that I think he could still be really dangerous in a year or two. He did, you know, eighth in your first time out, I think it's like his third contest, isn't, you know, chopped liver.
Yeah, and you know what? He's got to be elated. He's a top 10 Olympian in his first time out of the gate, something that a lot of guys that went on to do very well were not. Of course, we know that Ronnie Coleman took dead last in his first Olympia, and we know where he wound up. And Rami's a young bodybuilder, not much experience behind him. But in ninth place, a guy that's all too familiar with the Olympia lineup, a former first runner-up, two-time Arnold Classic champion, English Grand Prix, Australian winner, also a Europa Dallas Southwest Pro champion, Branch Warren, drops all the way out of the top six down to ninth place. Was that pretty predictable, Lonnie, for you going into this show? I knew Branch would be one of those guys on the bubble.
Yeah, I didn't know if I didn't think he'd finish that low, and now he's got a, you know, a quandary to deal with because, you know, he sat out the whole year. It wasn't like he was fatigued from doing other shows. Mm-hmm. He zeroed in on this.
Well, the bottom line is this guy, he's been battling some injuries, of course, trying to come back a year ago, sitting on the sidelines with his leg in a cast and coming off that Arnold Classic. I mean, he's had a lot to adversity. The question is whether or not, at the ripe old age of 38, going on 39, can he fix the problems that he has going into 2014, knowing we've got an influx of younger, shapelier, and genetically superior bodybuilders?
I don't know how Branch feels about his shape. I didn't think he was really out of shape, which does not bode well for him if he felt he was in really outstanding condition and still finishes ninth. You know, the question for some of these people now is, do I pass on the Olympia because I have no chance and concentrate on all the other shows, the overseas shows, the Arnold Classic in Columbus, etc.?
Yeah, it does become kind of a chess match for some of these guys finding themselves in very unfamiliar placings following this Olympia as well. Moving on into the Arnold Classic Madrid, where it's going to be another Olympia lineup, they're going to have some questions they're going to have to answer by 2014. Rounding out the top 10 from France, Lionel Bajecki, a guy that had gotten to the Olympia by way of points, didn't win a pro contest, was second place at the Pro Bodybuilding Weekly in Tampa, second place at the Europa out in Dallas, and breaks into the top 10. Lionel Bajecki got as close as he could to being the best Lionel Bajecki we've seen by staying on his diet and, of course, enlisting the service of Dennis James. Is he on the right track?
Yeah, this guy's good. I really like his lines, symmetry. I think this guy, you know, sharper. I'm not saying a top three guy, but I think if he gets sharper, 15% sharper, he can battle for a top six position, depending on how good the other guys are, you know, that day at the Olympia.
He's
a Mike Stolle favorite. Mike Stolle really likes this guy. And yes, I can see why. He's got great lines.
He's moving in the right direction. And basically, that's what the Olympia lineup is about, the top 10 guys. Now, let me mention a few notables that were predictably not on the Sean Ray top 10 list. And, of course, they did not make the top 10. I'm not the Swami here, Lonnie, but I could predict this going into the show. One Cedric McMillan wound up in 12th place, bombed at the New York Pro, disqualified from Brazil, won the German show. This is all in 1 year, and he winds up in 12th place at his first Olympia.
Yeah, I think the positive thing for Cedric, you know, because he's insecure, is at least he did this show.
Mm-hmm.
He was on stage, he went through it all, and now he could say, you know what? I did it. I didn't finish as high as I had hoped, but I think I can maybe hang with these guys if I can put it together.
Well, what I got to tell you is he did put it together. I mean, you have to respect what Cedric McMillan brought to the Olympia stage, considering he's employed by the U.S. government, has kids at home, and works full-time. This is a guy who was, like, out of the top 10 of the New York Pro. A year ago, he won the New York Pro, had flown all the way to South America only to sit on the sidelines and watch these guys compete in for a title. He was a favorite to win. He comes to Las Vegas. I thought he was pretty much one of the best Cedrics that we've seen over the course of this year, and he took out, in 13th place, Evan Sinopani, who looked pretty much like Evan Sinopani normally does, and Evan won the Europa Dallas show, or the Pro Bodybuilding Weekly show in Tampa last month.
Yeah, McMillan's got great tools. You know, he's 6 foot two. He's about 265 pounds. He's got a small waist. You know, Steve Bleckman called him the next Lee Haney when he won the Nationals, and I could see why. But he does have a confidence problem. When I emceed the New Jersey State Championships in 2009, and Cedric was one of the guest posers, I thought he looked phenomenal. I visited Diamond Jim the next day. Dwayne's gym, Diamond Jim, took over from the late John Kemper.
Right.
And I was telling, you know, Cedric, man, you really look great and blah, 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 and I think you can get him next year. And he goes, you really think so? And
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I said, God, it's not like you took 17th. You know, I think he was fourth at the Europa, and he was really down, and he had lost all his confidence, and I could see that. But, you know, considering all of the things that you brought up that he has to endure in preparing for a show, the question is, is he ever going to be much better than this if he has to have all those other things on his plate?
Yeah, he's definitely battling some issues mentally that some of the other guys are not, but he's a diamond in the rough and can potentially strike at any time, and he served notice to several of the guys that he beat there, so hopefully he takes stock in the guys he beat and can look at the guys in front of him. He can beat a Lionel Bieke. He can stand with the Rolly Winkler. He can stand with the best of them if he's in shape, and that's a big if.
Well, he could stand with Dexter Jackson, who was fifth.
Yeah, he's been working on. We're going to find out what the next year holds in store for him. But in 11th place, the Dominican dominator, Victor Martinez, who I predicted would not be in the top 10, did take on the same posture as Jay Cutler and said, hey, Sean, this was one of the best Olympias because I finished it. This is what I do. I'm a bodybuilder. What was I going to do? Sit at home and do nothing and watch these guys compete? I went back in the gym. I did what I love doing. I don't know how many times I'm going to have a chance to do it. So there's a victory in itself. But that's not a guy who once stood as the first runner-up in the Mr. Olympia back in 2007. It sounds like a 40-year-old, very mature bodybuilder in control of his career, but not the guy challenging for the title anymore.
Yeah, and you know, here's another one at 40. You know, are the best days behind him. And, you know, former Arnold Classic champion as well. And, you know, two or three years ago, if we would have said Victor Martinez isn't going to make the top 10, we'd be given a ticket, you know, one-way ticket to a rubber room, you know. And but you called it. I mean, that was a great pick to say. I know you were criticized.
Yeah.
I had him in the top 10. I had him about 8th or 9th in my pick. So you beat me in that one, too. I'm really surprised that he did not land in the top 10, but that... You know, I don't know what to say. He's probably thinking the same thing that Branch Warren's thinking now. Now, do I not do this show anymore? I was a champion. I battled for the title. Now I'm hoping to crack the top 10.
Yeah, I think when you win a pro show and qualify for the Mr. Olympia, you have to go. Because again, there's something to be said for being acknowledged as one of the world's best. Number two, to be in the Super Bowl, because again, you don't know how many more times you're going to get. This is a guy who got his arm broke, he's got two autistic children, his sister was murdered, he did a stint in jail. I mean, he's had very, very bad luck. So to get to the Olympia and represent the Dominican Republic, which is a whole nother fan base that we can't really relate to, and all of those Dominicans that are cheering for him, you know, he carries a bigger responsibility to actually be there and represent, whether he's first or last. The fact that he's there representing means a lot to Victor. So he is another guy like Jay who understands the importance of the flag and the burden they carry with regards to the fans and him actually just being there. So age has a way of helping them digest the bittersweet taste of defeat. In 14th place, though, Lonnie, Steve Kuklo, predictably, a rookie coming off the win out there at the Europa in Dallas, was not going to be a top 10 guy from the start. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny that you were just talking about when you get an invite to the Olympia, you know, you go. Maybe at Victor's age you do, but, you know, I've been on record saying I felt Steve should not have gone and hit this one. He's only 28 years old.
Yeah.
You know, the best is yet to come. He's got some great body parts and, you know, a great future, a lot of potential. And I don't know, you know, I don't know what he was thinking or what Hani was thinking. They have their reasons. They know more than I do. But to me, if you don't have a shot at the top 10, and probably a stupid statement because I'm sure he thought he did, I didn't think he was going to be in the top 10. Is it better to go in?
Well, let's back up, because you were with me my rookie year. I was barely 23 years old by one day. Going to that contest, of course, signing the contract to go, it's very hard to back out once you've signed that contract. But there's something to be said for the price of admission, and then there's something to be said for the experience you gain by standing on the sidelines and going through the practice and having an opportunity to be there so that the next time you come, you're prepared. I think getting in there now gives them some perspective to now come back and actually be a competitor, because that's what it did for me. I knew the next time I went that I wasn't going to be there as a pace car on a racetrack, and of course my record was top five the next 12 straight years. I'm hoping for Steve Kluklo, the knowledge and wisdom that he gained by being there and getting beaten and participating, he brings that back to whatever contest he shows up, but at the Olympia, he's able to be a more of a complete competitive bodybuilder the next time.
Well, I can understand your viewpoint, but to use you as a comparison, I don't really think that is a good comparison, because even at a young kid that you were 23 years old, whatever, you really had a shot of being a top six guy. Hmm. Going into it, you definitely had a shot of being top six, maybe top three or four, and you had some personal issues. You know, the listeners really don't know, but your grandmother had passed away, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you were traveling all over the place doing guest posings. And you know, we were in Miami at the Southern States together eating cheeseburgers and fries in August. But I think that's a different story. You know, Steve is 28, and he's got a lot of future ahead of him. And the problem is, I think, in prepping for this show, it may set you back for the next show next year, instead of taking the time off and relaxing and then saying, now let me go full force and add this and change this and tweak that.
He's definitely a guy that is eyeballing the future, and he's got a taste of it. Let's see what he does with it. Let's take a commercial break, come back with Lonnie Tieper, just get a little bit more perspective on that competitive, highly competitive 212 division. Then we're going to come back with the 8-time Mr. Olympia, Lee Haney, who knows a thing or two about winning and losing in the Olympia experience as we head into our 50th anniversary next year right here at MD Radio. Take this commercial break.
This is Marcus Haley of The Common, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sugar Sean Ray.
Arginine and AAKG are dead.
Nitric oxide war is over. MHP introduces InnoBomb, the world's first clinically tested nitric oxide maximizing formula. Need to experience real workouts and pumps with InnoBomb.
Did you know your protein has an anabolic to catabolic ratio? Until now, all the proteins on the shelf were way more catabolic than anabolic. So guess what? You're not growing.
Oh.
Nice to know all that money you're spending is going to the toilet rather than muscle, huh? Marketing doesn't build muscle, but a protein built for humans does. 99% anabolic, so you grow and grow and grow. See why at humapro.com and give the bathroom a break.
Anyone who understands the supplement market knows that fat burners as a class of products are virtually dead. Why? Because none of these products have delivered the kind of real results people have been looking for. I'm not kidding when I tell you, that's all over now. Because Mitotropin is so powerful and so profoundly different than anything else on the market, we couldn't even call it a fat burner for fear it would be associated with this useless category. That's how good it is. Welcome to the world of Mitotropin.
With over 300 locations and 2 million members worldwide, Powerhouse Gym has been helping people achieve their goals since 1975. Whether you're visiting the gym for the first time or you're a seasoned professional, you'll see why Powerhouse Gym is the strongest name in fitness. Visit powerhousegym.com to get a free guest pass to a location closest to you or to inquire about opening your own Powerhouse Gym location. At Powerhouse Gym, you're not just a number, you're family.
This is IFB Pro Mike Valentino. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Sean! Oh my God! Business as usual, man! Sean! Hey! I still here! It's going again! Right? Yeah!
For the best workout of your life, use Nox Pump, the strongest pre-workout powder in bodybuilding. Get Nox Pump at health food stores everywhere.
Shop the new MD Supplement Superstore, where you can find more of your favorite brands and products, upgraded customer service, and engaging cutting-edge research, along with the industry's most competitive prices.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
I'm the truth and these are... All right, we were recapping the 49th annual Joe Weider Mr. Olympia weekend. Now, for those of you that weren't listening a week ago, of course, Joe Weider passed this year back in April. First time we've had a contest with the Mr. Olympia weekend without either his brother Ben, who passed away in 2008, or Joe. However, we had a very strong sense and a very strong presence of what Joe Weider brought to the Mr. Olympia experience. His wife, Betty Weider, along with Franco Colombo, took to the stage, and she got a very warm reception because she was there throughout, Lonnie, to help Joe's dream come true, and now she's able to witness the aftermath of the production that he was able to create and the lives that he's been able to affect and inspire and change, not only financially but physically, through all of those Olympians that have passed through those doors the last 49 years.
Yeah, it was nice to see her there, and of course, you mentioned April. I was honored to host the Celebration of Life for Joe back in Santa Monica in April, and she was there, and it was tough for her. You know, I mean, you're hearing all these wonderful things about her husband, but he's also not there anymore, and of course, this is the first Olympia where he physically could, you know, is not there.
Right.
And so it was nice to have her there, and, you know, I bet you next year, you know, I wanted to say one thing about this Olympia before we get back to handicapping the finishes. Hats off to Robin Chang, who just did a phenomenal job. That Olympia has grown by leaps and bounds, and I tell you, that expo.
Yeah.
I was looking for you. I couldn't even find you at the expo.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I was like walking at the L.A. Coliseum during the old L.A. Ram days. I mean, it was really huge. So
yeah, they did a great job, along with the $1 million purse, and of course, all the big names were there. I saw Lee Labrada, of course, Lee Haney, who will be coming up shortly.
I interviewed Lee Labrada. We just talked to him on your show a couple weeks ago. I'm doing a story on him and his son, Hunter. Wait till you see this kid, Hunter. He does 10 reps in the squat at 600 pounds, 21 years old.
The apple didn't fall far from
no.
the tree. But we just to really wrap this up and get beyond this, another guy that wasn't in the top 10 and was not in my top 10, the 47-year-old from Atlanta, Tony Freeman, the X-Man, it did look like he got old in front of our eyes, a la Muhammad Ali in one of his last fights.
Well, you know, I don't know. How long can you keep going? He's a phenom at 47. I saw him after the show. He did tell me that he's doing the Tijuana Pro Show, and I'm very happy to hear that because I'm emceeing it, and if I go outside, I want Tony with me and a little protection. But, you know, that's a good thing for these other smaller shows, you know, and like Gary Udit's adding these masters divisions now, which is going to give these, you know, people places to go. It's not going to be the Olympia or nothing anymore.
Yep.
So that, in a sense, is good.
Yeah, and we'll see Tony, I'm sure, on a few more shows. He's a veteran. of course, honorable mention was Johnny Jackson, Brandon Curry, Robert Piorkowitz, Issei Obeid. These are guys that were there to try to just break the top 10. I think they came there with no real expectations to do anything. They tried and they failed, but there'll be other days because, again, these are all bodybuilders that actually won a contest to get to that Mr. Olympia. So these are all champions I'm talking about that just didn't stand a chance. But real quick, Lonnie, before I let you go, we did see the Welshman, James Flex Lewis, win the 212 for the second consecutive year, taking out Kevin English and a very improved David Henry to hold those guys as second and third.
Yeah, you know, Henry's one of my favorite bodybuilders. I call him the Sean Ray of the 212, used to be the 2-2 and under. And he wasn't real happy when I saw him after the show. You know, he thought he should have won. And,
right.
And I don't blame him. But you know what? He lost to a great bodybuilder. Lewis is big. He's thick. He's detailed. You know, he's got those huge calves, the guns. And when they were standing side by side, he was just so much bigger. You know, as much as I love David Henry's physique, I have no problem with Lewis winning his second title in a row.
Well, I concur with you there. Lonnie Tieper, always a pleasure. Thanks for calling in, and we'll catch up with you as the season continues in 2 weeks out at the Arnold Classic in Europe. You've heard it from the Swami, Lonnie Tieper. Check out his articles in Iron Man magazine. Thanks, Lonnie, for all you do for the world of bodybuilding, both amateur and professional.
I'm out.
All right, that's Lonnie Tieper. Let's switch gears and go all the way across the country to Atlanta, where the guy that made his name and helped bring millions of people into the sport of bodybuilding and inspire those that wanted to be like him, the winningest bodybuilder of all time on that Olympia stage, the great, totally awesome Lee Haney. Welcome back to MD Radio.
Hey, Sean, how you doing, brother?
It's good. It's always a pleasure, Lee. Running into you at the Expo is one of the highlights of my weekend because to see you still doing it, it means I got gas in my tank to keep doing it. As long as I see you there, I'm going to be there.
Well, I tell you what, man, it was an awesome time and great seeing you. I had a lot of fun there, man, meeting a lot of the, you know, some of the past bodybuilders and, of course, those of the present day also.
Right. Well, the thing about it is, Lee, is that the further away I think we both get from the stage, I think the better appreciation we have for what those athletes sacrifice and give up to entertain. I mean, when we were doing it, I don't know that we were fully aware of all the sacrifices we were actually making, but now husbands and fathers and fans and businessmen looking back to those guys on the stage, we know what it takes for them to get there and for them to be able to entertain us and motivate us and take us to that place again visually, is always an exciting experience to witness.
Yeah, it sure is, man. I just really enjoyed myself. I thought the competition was fantastic, and the condition of the athletes was out of this world.
Well, with that being said, you were a very highly spoken about Phil Heath. Did he live up to exactly the potential and the things that you had talked about him a year ago when we made the evolution of bodybuilding as far as representing? I mean, here we're now talking about a three-time Mr. Olympia.
I tell you what, Phil was fantastic. I mean, he was hard. He was crisp. His presentation was first class. I mean, when he hit the stage, he knew that he was number one. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody else knew it, too.
It was one of those confidence types. For me, it was one of those Lee Haney moments, like, uh-oh, here he comes. You know, it's like the great buildup, and they saved him for last. And literally from the silhouette, before they actually hit him with the floodlights, you knew something big and something special was going to happen. And he's a guy that did everything that we expected he would do, and the judges rewarded him with very little comparisons, very little call-outs. I mean, he was that complete coming out of the box. Now, that being said, we have Kai Greene in second place, who was a little bit softer on the Friday, came in a little bit harder. Did he slam the door on Dennis Wolfe from your perspective? Because we were all looking at this from different angles. And Dennis Wolfe, the taller of the three, with the X frame, with the big billowing quads, wide shoulders, small waist, certainly looked like he was bigger than both of those guys standing next to each other. But it was not lost that he didn't have any calves. And I think that they did give him a lot of respect for the improvements he made. From where you sat, was it enough to really challenge for that first runner-up, or did you have Kai Greene solidly in second?
Well, I solidly had Kai in second. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, guy had these slabs of meat hanging off of his back that was just absolutely incredible. And as you said, he was just a bit soft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kai has all the different body parts. You know, believe you me, Dennis looked great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was his best condition. But it was just something that Kai brought to the table. I mean, you saw slabs of muscle. You saw the density in the muscle. And what I like is the muscle maturity. You know, when this cat hit a side chest or lat spread, you saw slabs of muscle cross-striated all over the place. That's what I look like, what I look at in a physique. That's what I saw in Phil. That's what I saw in Kai.
Right. Now, if you were in Kai's camp, you've seen him. Now we got a rubber match in 2 weeks. What could you tell Kai that would help surpass Phil? Now, they're both equally going to have to travel across the country, halfway around the world, to get to Madrid, Spain, and battle the water retention issues and having to get a hold of their food and maybe find a place to train. So both have an equal disadvantage to repeat and hit their peak. What would you tell Kai to do to try to beat the champion in 2 weeks?
Well, as we saw, Kai was just a little soft.
Mm-hmm.
And these 2 weeks just may give him enough of an edge to tighten up a bit. Because he has a larger body parts than Phil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every angle of Kai's physique is complete. He has no flaws, period. But Phil has the art of peaking. I mean, he don't peak by accident. And see, that's where Kai's been up and down at. So he would have to be careful with his fluid retention. Have to be careful with, you know, his carbohydrates, and you know, he's just got to have it down to a science. Phil understands the science, and because he do, he's 3-time Mr. Olympia. I think he's still trying to figure it out. He just ain't got it just yet, but he's almost there.
It doesn't seem that long ago, but it was. Ronnie Coleman wins the Olympia, flies all the way out to Louisiana to pick up the easy money on the tour 1 or 2 weeks later. And lo and behold, Gunther Schlierkamp takes the reigning defending Olympia champion out and pretty much makes a career for himself by beating Ronnie Coleman. Is that more likely? Is there a more likely chance that Kai Greene can do that, since we've seen it done with a lesser bodybuilder in Gunther regarding Ronnie Coleman?
There's a possibility because, you know, as I said, Kai, as far as I'm concerned, he's the only one at this particular time that can give Phil a run for his money. He have all of the body parts, but the understanding of peaking and getting his physique is hard, is what he has to capture and have to find out.
Yeah.
So it could happen. It could happen.
So getting bigger is not even an issue for Kai. If anything else.
No, definitely not. No, Kai looks good at every angle.
All right, well, I know we've got some very important business to get to. We got one more segment here, and I want to go a little bit further in what you got going on, because it sounds very interesting, and we'll get your take on the 4-time Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler and his 6th-place finish. Was that the last time we saw Jay Cutler on a bodybuilding stage as a competitor? And if so, Lee, you retired 9 years younger than Jay is today. What kind of advice might you have for an aging bodybuilder moving on to the next phase of his life, or would you might think there's enough gas in the tank to come back for one more shot? We're going to find out what Lee Haney, 8-time Mr. Olympia champion, says about the prospects and the future of 4-time Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler, but he's got some very important news to share with us coming up from totally awesome Lee Haney right here at MD Radio.
Hey, this is Seth Ferosi, IFBB Pro, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
If you're looking for the no-bull supplements, Zero Limits is the brand for you. Zero Limits products represent the hierarchy of bodybuilding supplements. Zero Limits is for those who dare to force their bodies through the torturous acts of physical challenge and display a whatever-it-takes-to-win attitude. Zero Limits goes beyond the mundane pack of Me Too products with the development of a real breakthrough and innovation to take muscle building further than it has ever gone before. Zero Limits has revolutionized testosterone enhancements with Novatec.
test. Experience unprecedented 10,000% increases in testosterone and watch your strength and muscle gains go through the roof. NovaTest is in a class of its own for a select group of athletes who live by the zero limits philosophy of never setting limits on themselves. NovaTest, fast, powerful, potent elevations in testosterone. NovaTest from Zero Limits. Order NovaTest at www.getxl.com because large isn't big enough.
This is Jay Cutler, and you listen to Team MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Yes, your protein sucks. Stop flushing your money down the toilet already. You're not building muscle using it. Whey is for animals, not humans. Now get the world's first human protein. 99% anabolic, and it packs muscle extremely fast. If you want to grow today, go to humapro.com.
Over the years, iForce Nutrition has brought you some of the most powerful muscle-building products ever seen in the bodybuilding world. Now, after years of research and development, we are proud to introduce our first launch into the world of thermogenic fat loss with Adipoxil. Adipoxil isn't your run-of-the-mill fat burner. Adipoxil is new and rewriting the definition of fat loss. Adipoxil's competition strength formula is so powerful, in one cycle, you can go from soft to shredded. When being lean isn't enough, get shredded with Adipoxil. For more information, visit iForceNutrition.com.
This is IFBB Pro, Jason Hull. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
All right, we were looking back at what was the 49th annual Joe Weider Mr. Olympia, and it seems like it was only a couple of days ago we were highly anticipating what would happen. And here in the aftermath of it all, as the dust clears, the athletes are wrapping up their photo shoots and preparing to head over to Madrid, Spain to compete in the Arnold Europe competition. Lee Haney and I are sitting here Monday morning quarterbacking and trying to recover because, of course, Lee had to get on an airplane after being up and away from the family for 3-4 days at the expo, which was highly successful, and fly to Atlanta. And we're all kind of getting back to our lives. And Lee, thank you for taking the time out here. I had the chance briefly to talk to you at your booth. Before we get to that conversation, I wanted to know what your take was. I mean, Jay Cutler seemed to be very content with what he brought to the stage and also very content with his placing, falling from number one, or I should say from second place down to sixth place, and was very respectful to the level of competitors that he was standing up there with and very reflective on the time that he had spent on that Olympia stage. And I mentioned to Lonnie, it sounded like a retirement speech without using the R word, but it certainly had that feel and vibe after talking to him that might be the last time we see him in the Mr. Olympia lineup. Now, if that's the case, can you share maybe what might be going on in the mind of a 40-year-old bodybuilder who competed for the very last time?
Well, I think for Jay, you know, number one, I want to say he was in fantastic shape. Mm-hmm. I really love what he brought to the table. I mean, Jay is a first-class entertainer. He does an incredible job as an athlete. I think he felt in his heart that this may have been the last go-round for him, and he bowed out to the other contestants in the show. And, you know, he's had his era, you know, and all of us do. Mm-hmm. So now I think it's like, okay, what's next? And of course, Jay has a lot of awesome things going on in his journey, you know. So life really begins after the stage.
Yeah, and after 40.
That's right. And after 50
for you, 40 was at 30. Man, I mean, you got out of like 30, 31 years old, but you were old even when you were bodybuilding. You had the same high school girlfriend, the young sweetheart, and the kids, and all that. Man, you got old early.
I sure did.
But you're like a kid right now. You're 52 years old now, I think it is, and you look like you're 42, so it's incredible what life has been able to apply for you after you got out of the gym. I'm only hoping that Jay has as much success. Of course, he's got a supplement company, and he's got four or five Jay Cutler Classics spread out. He's got the next one coming up November the 9th. But as an advisor, let's play devil's advocate. If he were headed to Madrid, Spain, if that was his plan after this year's Mr. Olympia, would you tell him not to go based on what we saw Saturday night?
Well, you know what? I think where Jay is now, and you just mentioned a couple of things. You mentioned the fact that he had, you know, his supplement companies. He had the Jay Cutler Classics. So it's more of a business and marketing move for him now. So Jay is looking at business now, which is very smart, you know, because that's what it's all about. You know, at the end of the day, what do you have to show for all of this hard work? And what can you do to continue to move forward and marketing your success? That's where Jay is. Very
well,
smart.
Yeah, very well said. And
you can't eat the trophies. Not one Mr. Olympia trophy can I eat.
Yeah, you can't eat those. And
that's right.
That leads me to where you're at. That leads me to where you're at. Let's pick up our conversation before we have to close this show. So at the expo, you shared with me some information. Now share it with the listeners because it's very important with what you've got planned for April of 2014. Spell it out for these guys, what's coming down.
Well, Sean, I've created what is called Lee Haney Sports and Fitness Challenge. And what that competition will consist of is several different types of strength endurance events that is geared towards functional fitness. I don't want to use the word CrossFit. You know, that's a whole different kind of deal, but it sort of has the flavor of it. But it's something that will include, you know, children from 8 to 12 years old, teenagers where high school bring different teams out. Then we have the adult challenge, which will include, let's say, the different type of skill training for adults whereby they're flipping tires, they're pushing vehicles, they're jumping over things and carrying all kinds of stuff. So it's going to be a great event. And it's used as a fundraiser for what is called Haney's Harvest House, which is my nonprofit organization for mentoring young men. And I'm very excited about it. This is the first event. Now, then we're going to be looking at doing the Lee Haney Classic, which, you know, that date haven't been set yet, but we're looking at fall of 2014. But what we're talking about now is Lee Haney Sports and Fitness Challenge. And people can go to LeeHaney.com and get more information on it. You know, most of us, Sean, came from some type of athletic background. You were football. I was track and field and football. Field was basketball.
Right.
So this is a way to showcase some of our other athletic abilities. And for those that are out there in the bodybuilding world, this is a different flavor.
Well, I love that you're bringing that different flavor to our industry and providing that platform. That's going down April 19th of 2014.
Yeah, April 19th, 2014, and I want to give a big shout-out to the NPC and my dear friend Jim Mannion, which the NPC is the title sponsor for the Lee Haney's Health and Fitness Challenge.
And as that gets closer, we're going to bring you back on and remind everybody what's happening. Right now, I got to close the show. I want to thank Lonnie Teeper and, of course, Lee Haney for not only supporting, but I want to be up there on that stage with you next year, Lee, at the 50th anniversary of the Joe Weider Olympia. So make sure you're out there representing, and you better bring your track shoes. We might have a race on stage.
All right, baby.
I appreciate your support, man. But with that, man, 49th annual Joe Weider Mr. Olympia is in the record books. We'll be back a week from now to preview the upcoming Arnold Classic Europe in its third year with Bob Ciccarillo. For Lee Haney and Lonnie Teeper, I'm Sean Ray, and it's Monday Night Football time. Peace. I'm out.
You've been listening to MD Radio, a look at the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. Join Sean Ray again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.